Billy Peck here with a quick disclaimer. As you will hear at the beginning of this episode, I am sick, and snowstorms has kept internet usage not working very well. Now, someone with a properly functioning producer's brain would have come up with several alternatives to capture better audio on my end, but alas, I was not in the right mindset for that. Nevertheless, Husvar, Jake, and our guest, Andrew Cardona, still have a great episode telling incredible stories. I just don't want you to be deterred by, quite frankly, my bad audio, thinking that that is how the whole episode will be. Once the episode gets going, I only chime in from time to time. So my apologies go out to our guest, Andrew Cardona, and our listeners for things not being as good as they could have been. But again, I truly believe the three of them and their conversations will still be quite enjoyable for all of you.
You're listening to the Major Pod Network, the only place where your favorite toy store, card shop, arcade, theme park, and arena are all on the same block. Scratch that major itch.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Major World Order.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Major World Order podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Billy Peck, and with me is...
Oh, I didn't see you there. It's Husvar. And with us is...
The big Jake Boski, the Sean Kemp of sneaker collecting, the Major Man.
Oh, Jake, no.
Don't call me.
This is already going to be off to a wild, wild start.
Yo, you're sick.
All right, you got to show him. So oh. I always try to get Husvar to bust up, and I was scrolling through the internet earlier, and I saw this picture.
You just sent me these random pictures.
But this guy looks just like Billy with wine.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
You're sick.
I saw that earlier.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway. So
Billy has a better hairline than that.
Oh, yeah, way better.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So, just to start things off, if you don't already notice, my voice totally screwed. I am sick.
Yeah, Billy's going through his Brian Pillman phase now.
Billy sounds like auto-tune right now.
And if my internet connection is not great, I'm also in the middle of a snowstorm. So, you know, we'll still have a lot of fun, but if any of that stuff happens on my end, don't worry about it. These two and our guests will continue things on.
Because his shitty internet connection, but also because he's sick, so it's like a double whammy.
It's like it's like those memes where it's like, can you read this? Yeah. The brain is a wonderful thing. Like, it's like that, like trying to decipher, you know, but I can understand you.
Let's move on. We don't need to get into any of that other stuff. We've got a real fun guest. We have the younger brother of Cardona. We have Andrew Cardona. Welcome to the show.
Is my mic good again?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. It's way better.
We're perfect. I couldn't hear a word Billy was saying.
No. Me neither. Nobody could.
It was like the brother of Cardona.
You take it.
Yeah, it works. It works. He's doing a good job.
The name on the bottom of the screen says Cardona, but it doesn't say.
Should give away. Should give away. Right. The less popular, less famous brother.
I don't know, but you kind of look just as jacked, though, man.
I'm getting there.
Yep.
Trying to.
Hell yeah.
I'm glad to be here, though.
We appreciate you joining us and taking the time out to hang with us for a little bit.
No, of course.
Get to know you. You know, definitely excited to hear your story and hear about your collecting, and obviously, you know, growing up with Matt, and you know, your love for, you know, collecting, and you know, the things that you're into. I mean, this is this shows, you know, obviously it's you know, a unique story being Matt's brother, you know, so you're going to have a different kind of insight, you know, than any of the other regular major marks would. But I think it's going to be pretty unique, you know. It's because it's like, it's kind of cool to hear that story, but I like, we also like to get to know who we're talking to, and, you know, get to know you and hear your story. So I think it's going to be really unique and a lot of fun. So we're definitely looking forward to that. So yeah, thank you for joining us, man.
No problem.
Yeah, going to be cool for sure. So,
Hell yeah.
So, obviously you, I think you have the most history with Andrew, you know, at least is, you know, this is the first time you and I have met, and, I know previously you and Billy have talked a little, so I think, you know, probably be a good idea for Husfar to kind of take the reins on this one, and
for sure,
you know, kind of get your story. So let's without
ready
further
ado, ready to give you some.
Let's go.
Andrew's got to stick together, you know.
Yeah,
that's it. That's it.
Double Drewskis.
Double Drewski.
That's it.
So, what got you first hooked into wrestling, and kind of what, you know, did you collect at that time?
Right. Okay. Well, obviously, Matt, straight up, that's how I got into it. You know, I'm the youngest of three. Mm-hmm. We got Matt, who's 6 years older than me, and then my middle brother, Greg, who's a year younger than Matt. So they're 6 and 5 years older than I am. So that's all I knew growing up, was just they were obsessed. Toys, it was it. The LJNs, like I'm sure he's told you, my grandmother would get them from garage sales, and he would collect. So I remember seeing those, just like every kid, bashing them together, right?
Right.
But then the Hasbros, I was still a little too young for the Hasbros, but I just remember we would just, I mean, they were their toys, but I was playing with them, you know? Mm-hmm. And then from then on, it becomes, what is it? The Jack's Bone Crunchers, yeah. Right? I was more into the, I'm sure we'll get into it, but my age, I got really into it during the Titantrons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Titantrons and later
run. Yeah.
Right. The Titantrons, Ruthless, like that's all me.
Okay.
But I just have a vivid memory of all those previous lines, and it's all from Matt, whether we're watching the pay-per-views or just watching Raw, like it was all through him. So that's what got me into it, obviously.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm also the youngest of three brothers as well. Right. So I know what it's like with, you know, you get the hand-me-downs, and it's like, mm-hmm. I don't want those, you know, I want my own, but you're just happy to get them, you know, they may be a little beat up, but you're happy to get them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Matt always tells a story, and you mentioned it about how he would buy them for you. But they're technically for him. So can you get more into that?
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up, because a story popped into my head like a month ago, just randomly. I was like, oh, I forgot all about that. So I guess it's the Ruthless era, because I'll never forget the series. It was Series 2 Ruthless. So I mean, that's got to be what, like, is that Batista, Chavo, Rico, Tommy Dreamer maybe? So it was like all brand new guys in this set. So that's always like when you get six new guys, no repaints, just brand new guys, it's a big deal.
Right.
So there's a local toy store near us called Maddie's Toys. And Matt's calling this place, telling me, "Oh, they got the new figures. The new figures. Use your birthday money to go get them." But I was playing at the time, so of course I want to get the new figures. But now I'm realizing, as I've gotten older, Matt just really wanted to open them and like look at them and hold them. Like he wasn't collecting, so he says, but he was collecting through me in a sense.
Right. He was using you and your birthday money to
right.
get his
like I was pumped for him. Don't get me wrong. I wanted these figures, but I think he was really just
he
as
was
excited.
Pushing you. Yeah. He was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sure. Calling the toy store and everything. So
now was it a situation was like, okay, like you get it on like Monday, Wednesday, I get it the rest of the week, or was he fair?
No, he was fair there, because I was doing the fig feds then, you know, like I was having storylines. I was into it. I was writing down the title history. I was coming up with, like I said, storylines, everything.
Sure.
Which I probably got from him, because he was crazy. Like you've listened to the FWF, I'm sure.
Oh,
like that's how he was. But that's how we all were, weren't we? Like we all had that imagination.
Yeah.
Right. Did you use any pyro?
Like no, not like him, but I do have one wild story I did. It's not that wild. I actually stole the storyline from a real program. It was when Angle had to shave his head.
Yeah.
So if I remember correctly, this is when it was like the mix. It was like the R3s, Ruthless, Titantron, all mm-hmm. mixed in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the box set was called Razor's Edge. It came with Hogan, Edge, and Angle with the headpiece and the wig.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I finally got that. I had to make Angle bald in my fig fed, you know?
Right.
So I had a title versus hair match. And I used a Bone Cruncher D'Lo to face Kurt Angle, who's the European champion. And yep. D'Lo went over, so I needed to shave his head. So my dad shaved a piece of his chest. Oh. And I used that hair as Kurt Angle's hair. Like I had to stay true. So I didn't do pyro, but I had that crazy mind like him. I had to have the hair be legit.
Oh, my God. So,
the chest hair. Dude, the magic.
I hope it was his chest hair. Oh. No, I watched him. I watched him. But I was like, I was going to cut a
full
piece
afro.
Of my
I don't know why it's so curly.
Yeah. So that I thought was pretty clever. You know, I had to had to stay true.
So how did you stick the hair on? Did you use like tape or something or
no? So I did Matt's little trick where you just close your eyes, pretend like nothing's happening. Then the hair's there. Now he's bald. You know what I mean? So that's what but I'll never forget that. Cause I was like, that was a good story. That was good. I ripped it all from the real program,
Father of the year right there. I mean,
100%.
That's a really cool story. I mean,
he's hiding figures for my brother, Matt at Toys R Us, but he's cutting chest hair for me to make the storyline go through.
So. I mean, what did Greg get out of this? I mean,
he was never into collecting really. Like he was he always loved wrestling, but like maybe when they were younger, he'd play around with them. But I think I got that all from Matt. Like we're very similar in that sense, you know, but I was just copying stuff he was doing.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
I love it, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you ever do like head to head fig feds against Matt at times, like kind of like how FWF was or?
No, because I think he didn't like the way I played. You know, I think he was getting more mature with the way he was playing. I was hitting them too hard, like this, that. It wasn't really like, we would go head to head, but I would definitely use something like I didn't have a referee for a while because, you know, Titantrons didn't come out with one. They eventually made our Earl Hebner. So I would use his hand-me-down like the Ringside Collection, I think it was, like the Jax BCA ref, you know, like so I would use stuff he was done with, you know, but his newer stuff I really wasn't allowed to touch. So,
yeah. Okay. You got to take the old ratty cars out of the garage, but had to leave the new fresh ones.
I loved though. I loved
absolutely
as placeholders. Loved it. You know, you needed it.
Yeah, and I think that's like again, it's one of those things as you like when you're a kid, you get to use your imagination for this stuff, so you can really get in super deep. Like nowadays, I mean.
They have anything
we want is available, and it's so realistic too. It's like that's what we envisioned when we were kids, but now it's just like, but of course, you know, we're all 30, 40 years old, so it's like these are not like I'm not getting on the floor and playing with these. I mean, I'm literally, you know, I'm you know, dusting them, you know, once a month or whatever, but that's it.
And
you know,
make sure,
I gotta get the right pose and maybe change the title here or there, whatever, you know.
The thing now is big photography, you know, like doing that, you know, instead of playing with them, the grown men are doing, you know, that.
And they're insane.
So cool.
So impressive. Yeah. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know who I follow. I follow like 10 different accounts. It's not just wrestling. It's Star Wars, this, that. They do some cool stuff. Man.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Just with the backdrops and like, especially like you don't even need like a legit camera now because everybody's phone has these amazing cameras on them. And, you know, you do so many cool things with the filters and all that stuff. And it's just, it's really unique and just, I mean, what a time. But to me, though, like I love it, but I also don't because it takes away from the
imagination.
The imagination, you know, because it was just everybody was so creative back then. I mean, perfect example, your dad cutting off his chest hair. You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
that's insane.
Those were the days, though. Those were the days.
Right.
I miss those days.
Me too.
Right. That's the thing that sticks out. And you know what I mean? Like, nothing out of all the stuff that sticks out. That's the one thing that, like, jumps out where it's like now, you know, you could go to Walmart and buy a wig for $3. Yeah, right. I mean, just, you know, just air see, over
even,
here, whatever.
Even as a kid, like going into the woods in the backyard or wherever, go to the park and you just grab a stick, you know, and to you, it's a sword, you know, it's a Excalibur, right. You know, like it's like exactly like that. Nowadays, I could go and buy Excalibur at the freaking store and, you know,
play with it. You have to use your imagination for everything. Yeah. I was using Wolverine's motorcycle for the Undertaker's entrance, you know, make that you can get a wrecking machine in every different type of vehicle. Like, they didn't have that stuff.
Yeah. But yeah. It's pretty crazy. But
you kids are spoiled nowadays.
They are. Absolutely. Cause now my nephew's collecting now. Cause he's like 6 years old. So it's cool to watch him, but he's got everything you know, like, I don't think he's doing crazy elaborate fig feds yet. I think he's a little too young, but every accessory under the sun, like, we didn't have that stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm a different age, like I said. So, like, I was eventually starting to get, like, the entranceways and the Titantrons before, like, some of the stuff, for the bone crunching era, like, they didn't have that stuff. So I got a few of it, but not like what they have today.
Right.
Right.
100%. Yeah. Well, I just recently just saw Rick Flair Elite or Ultimate Macho Man a figure four, and good it looked for figures, you know, being a figure four, and I'm like, you know, if that was a Hasbro, like the legs move,
right?
So, if it was a Hasbro, again, that's the most you're doing, you know, like.
But that's the other thing too. You'd have to use your imagination with the Hasbros too. They're not really; they can't move their legs. So it's like, you can do some of the moves.
Yeah, you could do like half a move sometimes.
Exactly.
Somebody, you know, like with like Sid Justice. You know, he had like the gorilla press arms, and you know, you could take one and like have the choke slam, but you couldn't like fold it down. You know, so it was kind of like you had to hold everything together and like, you know, still do that. But like look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But I like doing that. It's fun. Except I drop in, break in.
Definitely some better poses. Some of the Hasbros had great ones. Some were like, okay.
Yeah.
With the Ric Flair and the 1-2-3 kid, you can just do the headlock, right?
Oh, yeah, the noogie.
Right.
Yeah.
Rick
Rude had it, too. Yeah, it was it's a little tough.
How did you first get introduced to Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder? Let me ask it like this, I guess. How did you get, I mean, did you know Brian your whole life, like while Matt was on that journey, or like, what was your first experience, your first time meeting Brian? Let's just go by that, meeting Brian.
So like, believe it or not, like the first time I met Brian was obviously like when they started in NYWC together, they were teaming. But I was like in middle school. So like, I wasn't really hanging out with him. I just knew of him. Like it wasn't until I got a little bit older and he would come around sometimes, like where I got to actually know who he is, you know what I mean? But yeah, my first time was when they got paired together, and like Matt told the story a million times, they hated each other, thought they were competition. And then, but at that time they looked so alike that it worked, you know, like it was good for them to team. They're similar build, same age, similar hair. I mean, and they were talented. So, but yeah, that's probably the first time I even heard of them, because they had like, I think a stable called the Rat Pack, maybe. They were all together at first and then they broke off on their own. So,
yeah.
So you used to go as a kid, you used to go to the NYWC shows and
watch the local shows for sure. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was it like, how, like, just from the perspective, how cool is it seeing like your old, you know, your older brother, like just performing in front of a bunch of people, like for the first time?
It was cool. Like, I'm not trying to say it wasn't cool, because it was definitely cool, but it wasn't until like I saw him live, like
in WWE,
big times, where I'm like, wow. Like, you know what I mean?
And go ahead.
I was just saying, it was just still cool seeing him like at the, you know, the gymnasiums and stuff like that. But it wasn't until the bigger stage where I was like, okay, this is real. This is wild.
Yeah. What is that feeling like? Like, you know, I mean, obviously you're growing up with your brother, you know what I mean? And you have that sibling, you know, where, you know, of course you love your family and all that, but you know, your brother has this dream of becoming a pro wrestler. And I mean, which one of us hasn't, you know what I mean? But we all want to do that, you know, it's awesome.
Right.
But like, he actually like makes it. What was your first like thought, like when you heard, whether he told you or he's just like, hey, watch SmackDown this week or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, what was like that holy shit moment for you? And like, how did that feel?
That's funny you brought that up. Like the first moment. So the first time was when he had that, it was a squash match with Matt Morgan. Like yes. He was like local talent.
Right.
And that's when I was like, oh my God, he made it. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, he's on TV. Like he's, like, I, of course, he didn't have a signed contract or anything, but I was like, he did it. Like, he was on WWE programming. That's what it was. And I'm sure he felt like that for the time. Sure. But
yeah,
that was the first time I was like, oh, my God. Like, he said he was going to do it. I believed he would do it because that's all he's ever spoken about.
Right.
And then to see that, like, that's kind of what blew my mind. And then, you know, then they finally get signed. Then they're doing the ECW thing. Then they get split up. They win the belts, this, that. It was all great, but the first time mind blown was the Matt Morgan match.
That's awesome. And it's funny because nobody really talks about that too much. I mean, you know, you see pictures here and there, but you know, not that was a huge moment or anything, but like personally, I think for him and obviously for you, that's like one of those moments that stands out. And like, it's almost like an intimate thing where it's just like, you know, this was, even though it wasn't like I won, you know, the Intercontinental Championship, WrestleMania, or, you know, something crazy like that. It was just this one little thing, but it's like, that's when you know you finally like hit that point where it's like, okay, this is real now. It's not.
No, like, you nailed it on the head for sure. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. That's, and it's so cool. And just like, and that's a cool thing that you got to share with us that this is why we do this show. You know what I mean?
No, for sure.
It's just one of those things that's like, that's part of your life too. You know what I mean? Like not just seeing somebody make it, but it's like, that's your brother, you know, that's right. You know what I mean? It's just so cool that,
you know, because most people might say like, oh, when he was in the video game or when he got the first t-shirt, but it's like, no, like a squash match on SmackDown. I think he got like one elbow in maybe.
Going
off of that. So when Matt started getting official WWE figures, were you rushing like to the stores to like hunt them down?
At that point, I wasn't really like collecting, but I think he was in like cahoots with somebody at Jack. So he like got him maybe a little earlier. So like we already, like, I think he had the prototype maybe, like we already had him pretty early. So that, but that was another moment where I'm like, his face is on a toy.
Right.
Like the likeness was okay. You know, it wasn't perfect, but it was pretty good for the time, you know? So that was wild to see as well, but I wasn't rushing to the store getting him. He actually was able to bring him over for us.
Right. Yeah, that's another cool thing that has to be pretty sweet, because like I know Mattel for sure, I'm assuming Jax did also, they would send, you know, the talent like a box of like their figures or whatever, you know, to do whatever they wanted with them. So that'd be like, that's got to be a cool feeling too, you know, like you're just at home and this box of your figures shows up, you know. But
even better for him, because he's the collector, you know.
But so I could totally see him though, like, not even opening that box, like leaving the tape on it and everything, completely sealed. And like,
we did that with the retros. I think he sold an entire case of them on like on Facebook Live, like in like 2020 or 2021 or something.
He's a lunatic.
Yeah. So speaking of that lunatic, that phrase, like, so this is something, I mean, obviously, you know about it. I mean, you grew up with it. I mean, I've noticed it. Billy and Hesfar, they know about it. And a lot of people do. But Matt is, and I don't want to spend this whole episode talking about Matt, but like his that craziness, that just insane collector where it's just like so, like literally psychotic when it comes to these things. Like, I know he was like that growing up. He had to be. But like, B, what was it like? I mean, because I don't know you, but I don't think that you're like that. You know what I mean? At least from what I can tell. Like, what is it like growing up with somebody like that? And but like being supportive for them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it's not a bad thing at all. You know, I mean, we all have a problem, you know, one way or another when it comes to collecting, but it's just like, to that degree and that level, like, what is like your thought process on that? And like, how did you kind of like look at that where you're like, man, this guy's like really, really crazy, or it's like, oh, that's cool, I'm gonna like support him and be there for him. Like, what? I don't know. It's just, what was your kind of outlook on that?
It was a little bit of both. Like, I supported it 100%, but I was also like, all right, he's like really obsessed with this stuff. But again, it wasn't probably until later on in life, like when he had some more money to probably like get these things. You know what I mean? Because growing up, like, yes, he needed like everything wrestling, but it wasn't too crazy with everything else. Now he's doing the Turtles, the Ghostbusters, this, that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but again, that's just what I thought of him at the time. I'm like, oh, he's just obsessed with wrestling. That's what, and I'm going to do it too. I'm going to need to collect everything. Yeah. Even though I didn't, but like I would try to, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't, like I said, until probably later on when I really started to notice he's collecting anything and everything.
Right. Yeah. Crazy. but like cool though too, you know, it's just like,
yeah.
And like you said too, it's one of those things like, you know, as you progress in life, you start making some more money, especially, you know, obviously with him, you know, you get a professional wrestler's contract. It's going to be more than the average Joe is going to make, you know what I mean? So, you know,
you gotta have a variety.
Well, yeah. but I think it's like, but that's the other point of it too. Like, you know, being a kid, you see like, oh yeah, every kid wants every single toy in the whole toy aisle. But like when you get to that point, like where he's gotten to, it's like now you see this collection and it's like, it's literally like a museum. You know what I mean? And then I think that's how people can kind of focus and see like, okay, like he's not crazy. He's like, this is his
dream. Rules.
There's
a method to the madness.
But it's like that's also his dream. You know what I mean? To have this amazing collection and have these things that he couldn't have when he was a kid, or, you know, whatever the case is. And it's just, I think it's just one of those things like you have this idea in your head for so long and you kind of work your way through life to kind of get to that point. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Pretty damn cool.
Did you collect any other things besides wrestling, Andrew? Like Matt, like were you into Turtles or Power Rangers or anything like that?
Power Rangers, probably. That was like my first thing I got into, because whenever that released, like that was like prime time for me. Like that was a perfect time. And then it was a lot of the wrestling and Star Wars was probably the biggest two for sure. Like I'd get into, like, you know, in the 90s, every movie was making a figure, you know? So I'd go see Men in Black or Wild Wild West, and I'd want to get the toys, you know what I mean? Starship Troopers, like I would get anything. But like my biggest thing was Star Wars wrestling figures for sure.
Nice.
You got to be about the same age as me. I'm 89. Are you 80?
I'm 91.
You're 91? Okay. No, because he's listing.
Year you're born?
Very close, though.
He's listing like things like I would get for Christmas.
Made it seem like you were 80 years old.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, you got to be the same age as me. 89.
I'm 89. Like, oh, yeah, I'm 91. For my age, right?
Yeah. We're very close, though. It's a similar gap of things.
Yeah.
No, just like throughout the show, you were like mentioning all like things that like I grew up with. So I was like, oh, you've got to be around the same.
Right. No, for sure. Pokemon, I was into like all that stuff. But the biggest thing was because even with Star Wars, it's similar in wrestling, because you can make a storyline with that too. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, you make your own episode, you make your own movie, whatever you want to do. It's a similar creativity. So those two were always my two biggest wheelhouses for sure.
Very cool.
Do you collect? I mean, I see the Stormtrooper helmet behind you, but do you collect anything now, or any Star Wars or wrestling now? Like just little things.
So the thing,
Jaws out there.
Yeah,
I got Jaws. What is that? I have one section that's just like
Universal cool
stuff. I'm a big park guy too.
Big park guy.
That's like my fiance stuff. She's big into Jaws, but.
That's awesome.
It's different waves. So like depending like what time of the year, it's like I can like almost, I guess it's kind of like Matt, like I'll OCD or like obsess over something where it's like the Star Wars vintage collection would come out, the like smaller figures. Mm-hmm. I was like obsessed with those for about 2 months. I would try and get not everybody, just like the heavy hitters, the guys I liked. Then randomly I got into Legos. I wanted to build a Lego set. So I got some of the the botanical Lego set. It's like the flowers and the stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just random stuff. And wrestling figure wise, the latest thing I was collecting was the retros. And then they put them on ice. Right. And now they're back, but I didn't jump back on the bandwagon for that yet. Yeah. So gonna have to pay a pretty penny, I'm sure, for some of them.
Yeah.
They're still, to be honest, they're still available. I think the first series was on like Ringside. They like heavily discounted. So you have a shot.
That's a box. It's four in the box four. Set, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
There's
yeah.
like three sets I think have come out so far, if I'm not mistaken. And I know the at least the first two are still, I think, on Ringside.
Pretty available. Yeah.
Okay,
so, yeah. Because
they discount.
I like them. I like how they look on display. You know what I mean? Oh, it's just like the elites are insane. It's just too much for me to do the elites. You know, I thought about it, but I'd have to go way back and really pay for some of the guys I would want. So the retros I started new. It was easy to collect when they were coming out. So
well, the good thing about elites is though they're kind of remaking a lot.
They
of
are.
I saw that. Yeah.
Like yeah. I know it got me. I'm sitting over here like.
I know, and some people are happy about that, and some people are annoyed. Oh, yeah. Right?
I mean, love it.
Well, definitely. I mean, as a collector, if you don't have it, you're obviously going to be happy about it. But if you're you're a reseller or you're, you know, hanging on to some of these things
money.
To get rid of them later down the road, then of course you're, if you're sure. looking
it kills at the value a bit of the originals, right? Gotcha. Exactly.
Plus, you know, new mold, they usually like fix up the, like, you know, with the like Hulk Hogan, they, you know, fix up the
butterfly joints and
the butterfly joints and accessories and being able to make, you know, multiple versions of them and stuff.
But I think that, like, if anything, it technically is a different figure now. You know what I mean? It's not,
yeah, no,
they're calling them greatest hits though.
Right. Yeah. But it's I'm not sure about this, but if it is greatest hits, is that on the packaging as well?
It does on some of them. Other ones are just like known as greatest.
Yeah, hits. Yeah. Then it's technically like you got OG versus the new, and I think it's kind of a it's different. Yeah, it might be very similar, but
because even like the Terry Funk, let's just say for example, that was a legend that came out of Target, but it says greatest hits,
right?
Legend greatest hits or whatever.
Yeah, I gotcha.
What do you guys feel about like the face scan? The print, it's called, it's something, right?
Oh, like where it's like dust. It's like,
because I know there's a big debate on that.
It's like some of them are
great.
I know, because I was looking at I'm bringing up my nephew's toys. Some of them look incredible, but I see what you're saying. Some of them, the eyes don't even match up. Yeah, so
just off a hair, like it messes it up. So.
I will say lately, it hasn't been a problem because I'm a big, like, I need the paint like to be perfect, as perfect as I can on these for my display or whatever. Like if I'm getting a Chelsea elite, like if there's a brown hair streak that goes down, I have to get a new figure. Like I can't. I'm just
now.
Weird.
If you're buying in store, are you examining the figure?
So I'm looking at the figure. He is, yeah. Okay. I look at it. So.
He'll if there's like six on the hook, he will pull all six off and find the perfect one.
So like
okay, I respect that though. I think I used to do that with the older figures I would get too. I'd want if there was multiple ones, I'd try and look for the best one too.
Sure.
Like I bought this new Ultimate Warrior today, and on the paint on the paint the on any of them were like the spikes of the face paint. It's hard to explain. Yeah. Like come here, like I could tell when they're not centered. So like a bunch of them, they were like off here. So I was like, nope, put it on the shelf. Look at the next one. Oh, this one's still off. This one was like the best one. So I'll see how you do that.
He gave me a very hard by Egon Spangler because on the top of his head was like the slightest, like unpainted piece of hair.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not perfect, you don't want it.
I'm gonna look at the top of his head.
Interesting is if it ain't Kurt Hennig, I don't want it.
So so go back to your question. I hated when like the paint was like more, you know, I guess dusty, I guess is the right word, when they weren't.
That's what they would describe it as, yeah.
Right.
But it seems like they're doing a better,
there's
printing
probably some more quality control now. I think that's what it boils down to.
Pandemic. You know.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
You know, they're trying to bust these figures out. They're just making as many as they can, as quick as they can. Now it's kind of gotten to a point. It's like, okay, guys, we need to refine this a little bit and make sure that our process is correct. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, some of these figures are, you know, $30 a piece, whatever, you know, $35.
Like even this, You know, like, does that look like Kurt Angle to you? Like
that, the other two, the backup heads look better than that one.
Yeah. So Andrew's showing off for those who are listening. This is where Billy normally chimes in, but I'll take over for this. So for those listening,
I did chime in, but I was muted.
Yeah. So Andrew's showing off his Kurt Angle Ultimate Edition figure in box here, and just kind of showing us that
with hair.
Yeah, the head that's on the figure, it looks more like Ken Shamrock than it does.
That looks strange.
Actually, it looks like Davey Boy Smith, honestly, if anybody. Yeah, that's terrible.
So that's where it comes down to, you know, sometimes it looks good, but like you have like the smiling head and, you know, the crying head, and it looks more like him. So it's
no, I agree. Really,
and for some reason, they can't get Brett 100% right.
So, I hear it on the pod every week from Matt. He does not like Mattel's Brett's. He's not wrong though.
No,
he's not wrong.
You know, that one Trish that just looked horrible with the pink hat. But anyway, how did you first hear about when they were doing the podcast? Did Matt tell you about it beforehand, or did you find out like everyone else on the tweet?
I think my cousin might have brought up in the interview you guys did with him, John Gravina. Like, we have a group chat, my two brothers, one of my brother's friends, and my cousin John. And Matt likes to share, like, a lot of stuff with us through that. So I'm sure at one point he's like, hey, Brian and I are thinking about doing a podcast. We don't know if it's going to get picked up by WWE, so we might just do it on our own. We're just going to talk about wrestling figures. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I'll listen. Like everybody says, no one thought it would become what it's become today. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I was like, he's talking about wrestling figures. I'll listen to it. Like, why not? You know, because that's why I love the pod, because one, I know what I don't collect as crazy as most of you guys, but I know mostly everything you're talking about. And it's interesting. But also it's my way of kind of like hanging out with them in a way, you know, like it's a podcast. So that's why I enjoy a podcast. You feel like you're a part of the conversation, even though you're not saying a word, you know what I mean?
Right.
But he lives in Florida. I live in New York. It's a cool way of me keeping up with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm hanging out, you know what I mean? So I was on board from the get go.
Yeah.
Did you notice a big difference, like, but like when, say, like when Mark was added to the show, like, what did
I'm a Mark. That's funny you said that, because I think this was even before like the pandemic. It was just like one or two episodes at random, like Mark was on. I was like, you know what, Matt, like, it's refreshing to have like another voice on the show,
right?
You know what
it I mean? Like, a whole nother dynamic.
It does. You know, it's like, Matt would probably hate me saying this, but like, like Brian and Matt together are like what the hype bros were supposed to be. You got one like crazy guy and one guy who's got like their head on their shoulders trying to like bring it back to earth. You know what I mean? Like, that's Brian as the calm, cool, collected dude. And then Matt's like the maniac, a good maniac, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I don't know. I just liked when Mark just, like you said, he just added something. And then now that he's on full time with them, like, I know he's the producer, but he's like a third host in a way. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think it would be the same thing. Like, if, you know, it was just Billy and myself, or Andrew and Billy, you know, it's like, it kind of needs all three to work in a sense.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
But with Matt, Mark, and Brian, I think it's just, you know, like you said, Brian's the cool collective. Matt's kind of crazy out there. And Mark's just kind of right in the middle, you know, because
he's a median.
Especially as the first. He was kind of the everyman,
right?
You know, he wasn't like, you know, famous yet, so to speak. You know, he wasn't on television. You know, he was kind of one of us,
right?
For sure.
You know,
yeah.
So he was a little more relatable, because, you know, look, you know, it's amazing what, you know, Matt and Ron and Mark have done for them. But like, look, you know, they are famous television wrestlers who have way more money than most of us. So sometimes that can be a little unrelatable. But Mark was kind of that guy that, you know, we could be like, oh yeah, I know.
That's a cool way to think of it like that. That is a cool way to think of it like that. I didn't really think of it. I just thought of it as a fresh voice. But when you like put in those terms, I never thought of it like that. That's good.
Yeah,
I like that. Let's get into some WTW.
All right. Those are not Fig Febs were good days, but these were great days also. These are good times.
So John Gravina actually says,
"Oh yeah, the questions. That's right.
One, oh, John.
He says one, two, three, oh. Two count.
Yeah, I knew he would say so that.
What's the story here?
Well, they filmed everything because they were very professional. You know, they were good.
Sure. Yeah.
But what John's referring to is, I think it was my other brother, Greg, known as G Money. He was wrestling somebody and I was the referee. I was referee Andrew. So they told me ahead of time, like they were telling me the spots, you know, like
right.
Match isn't going to end here, but it didn't look like his shoulders was going up. So I counted to three and they looked at me like I was crazy. So I went one, two, three. I realized I screwed up. So I went two count, like counted to three. So John just says that all the time to me now. I screwed up the spot, but it looked like he wasn't getting up. So
we need a WTW shirt that says it's like the 1-2-3 kid, but it says 1-2-3 and then with an X on it and then the two.
That'd be perfect. That'd be perfect. I'll create a pro wrestling tee store.
Oh yeah.
Hey, reffing ain't easy, man. It ain't easy.
Nah, bro, that's another good shirt. Reffing ain't easy.
Right. I love it.
Damn,
that's a good one.
Pop it up too.
Oh, yeah. Pop it up too. We're gonna be making our own shirts now. But yeah, John loves that story. That's John. He'll always say that, and it's somewhere in the archives. I'm sure Matt's got them all. We got to try and get that on like a DVD or something.
We have spoke with John about this multiple times, and we are doing everything in our power to try to get this done.
Love a box set. Oh,
dude, even if there was like. I mean, we've kind of collectively talked about doing some kind of a WTW watch along, you know, getting all the guys from WTW together and just, us three could kind of just sit out back, you know, kind of off to the side.
I listened when you guys had Sal and you guys had Chris on, right? Yep. Fallen Angel.
Yes.
And Sal, who
I
use them by their working names.
Right.
Salute. And speaking of Salute, I got upset because during his interview with you guys, he said he was a former television champion. We never even had a television title in WTW. He was a former United States champion. Ooh. So when I was listening, I got a little hot. I was like, you don't even know what belt you were carrying.
Was he working for another organization that you weren't aware of? Did he pull a Rick Rude on you and jump the ship on Monday night?
He might have been. And if Matt knew that, he wouldn't be too happy. But he messed up the championship belts. He was a United States champion.
Okay.
TV title.
Yeah.
I remember some championships. I feel like a lot of them forgot.
We'll look out for the post from Sal or the message from Sal after the episode airs.
Right.
I said it was Sal. US.
That's awesome.
So were you only a ref or did you?
Yeah. So I was my parents claimed they didn't want us to really be doing it and they would do it anyway. So they're like, you're too little. We don't want you to get hurt, but I wanted to be involved so badly. Yeah. You know?
Right. That's what makes it even worse when you're like told you're not allowed to do it. Or you know. You can't. It's just like, you don't push harder. Yeah.
It's like everyone else is doing it. Like you're letting my two older brothers do it. Why can't I do it? I know exactly how it is. I would have
been the only cruiserweight. I was fine with that. I was like, let me just get in there. But I think it was probably Matt. It was like, all right, we'll get him involved, but he's the smallest, so he'll make a good referee. And I think it worked out because I was smaller than all the guys.
Right. Yeah.
So that was my way to be a part of the show.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It was good.
And you get to do every match, right? Pretty much.
Almost all of them. The earlier days, they would like alternate friends because I had no interest or like I was never even asked, but it wasn't until probably like their like second season, I call seasons because by year, whatever, that's when I was probably doing every show with them.
Okay.
What was your favorite match to ref if you remember?
Honestly, I think the one Matt posted on YouTube when he's facing G Money because it was my two brothers involved.
Right.
And it was a good match, like for a backyard fed. Like, I'm not just saying that. Like, it was a pretty good match.
It's Billy says it all the time. He says, like, you can watch that video and you can see it in Matt, like, how he, like,
he's got all the same mannerisms.
Right.
He does. It, he does, it's for crazy. Sure.
And you can see like the professionalism he put into it back then and, you know, into now. It's cool. It's so cool in the evolution.
Yeah, he was very like strict with that like whole backyard fed. Like he wanted it to be as professional as it can be. You know, we you, like eventually it and it evolved too, you know, like the first time you'll watch it. I mean, they're just coming like from behind the fence. Then we started making like an entrance way with like a curtain and my bike ramp. We'd use my bike ramp for the guys to walk down, like creative things like that. But that was all Matt, you know, for sure.
That's awesome.
So cool.
Yeah, probably that match. And there's another match between them two that I got involved and they like just beat the crap out of me. But I don't think he posted it anywhere, but they both turn on me and give me like a power bomb on the grass, which was fun. But it was anytime they were involved, that was probably the ones I enjoyed the most.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
If we ever get an FWF, if it ever comes back or anything, or if it, you know, you need to ref. Oh,
That'd be good, but I can't screw up the count. I gotta really
No, you have to. That's your gimmick, dude.
Yeah,
you have to, man.
That would be good.
Yeah, we could have Matt versus G Money with you G-Money. As the ref. Good old JG as a commentator.
As commentary, that I'd love that.
Yeah,
yeah. I think
this needs to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
sign me up.
I think Matt wanted John to do.
The I think so. John probably wasn't allowed to. John's listening. John was allowed.
Oh, he's listening.
He's listening. He'll listen once it drops.
Yikes.
Oh, I love you, John. I love you, John. I'll leave it at that.
Salute can come down to the ring with a dual-sided championship. One side's television title, the other side's U.S.
U.S.
You know? That's it. Yeah. He's got to do that or get the right Sal championship for sure. Yeah, but their Fed was good though, you know, like they did some, I'm sure they took stuff from they would see on TV, but they had their spin to it, you know what I mean?
Well, have to. I mean that's what makes
inspired. Yeah.
But it was like a fig fed on steroids, you know what I mean? Right. It was like all the creativity Matt would have with wrestling figures, he brought it into, you know, booking these matches, booking these characters.
Right.
Yeah, most of the kids would come up with their own gimmicks, I'm sure, but it was Matt final say everything, you know, like I think Chris Sweeney, Fallen Angel, was telling the story about how they thought it was going to be a pink slip match, a pink slip on a pole.
He
was
two championship
belts. Yeah. Like he was always thinking of stuff wild like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just a younger brother. Like, oh, this is cool. This is cool. You know, what I mean? But it's cool to be a part of that. Absolutely. For sure. Those were good days.
Oh yeah.
So you said you're a big park guy.
Oh, love them. Love them.
Yeah. So kind of the same thing, you know, growing up, you know, parents are taking you to Disney and all that. And
right.
Are you like Matt in the sense of you like theme parks more? Or are you, you know, like a, you know, roller coaster park kind of guy too? Or
I'm more of an attraction guy. You know what I mean? Like, I love the coasters. Like, you know what I mean? But like with all this technology now, like the attractions are just like the virtual stuff you see is just insane, you know? And it honestly wasn't until Matt moved down to Orlando. Like I visit him like twice a year now, but it's, I want to hang out with him, but I also like want to do the parks, you know what I mean? So it's like,
absolutely.
You get to kill two birds with one stone. So
you like Guardians?
Love Guardians. Guardians is great. But see, like that's clearly a coaster, but attraction too. You know what I mean? Like
it's,
you know, it's not like VelociCoaster at Universal. That's true. Right. Just like a coaster, you know, like
a rock and roller coaster.
Yeah, right. Right. Like Rise of the Resistance, I consider attraction, you know?
Yes. So,
but I love it all. I love it all. I'm not super into like Magic Kingdom. I'll go, but it's usually Universal, like Epcot and Hollywood Studios for me.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite ride out of both parks, Universal and Disney?
Oh, that's tough.
One of each, not between the two. That would be too hard.
If I'm going to go Universal, and that, I'm including Islands with that, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a whole, yeah.
I think I love Hagrid's, man. That ride's sick.
I haven't.
Have you done that yet?
I haven't been back to Universal since the fifth grade, so like 2005.
Oh yeah, you gotta get down.
I
want
to
go, then.
But I'm sad because you know they don't have like Back to the Future, they don't have Terminator, they don't have you know
Back to the Future. That's you can't. That's my number one right there. Is Back to the Future. That's my bottom of my DTOLF. I'm a big Back to the Future guy. I miss that ride.
Which Back to the Future is your favorite?
The first.
The first. Okay.
Oh, okay.
The first is a perfect movie, man. It is perfect.
I agree.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, I always thought two was my favorite.
That's how I am.
Same.
Okay. Same. And then two, once I got two. Older, is that a Hot Toys?
Yeah, baby.
See, that's the one I need. I named my cat Marty McFly.
Yeah. Marty McFly. It has awesome. A magnet in the foot so you can put the hoverboard on.
Okay, so all right, so like I was saying, when I was younger, I thought I loved because I love that hoverboard scene.
Yeah, and the jacket, the shoes, everything.
Right. So I'm like, oh, two is my favorite. Two is my favorite. But then as I got older, keep rewatching. I'm like, you know what? I think one is just like the perfect story. You know, it's just perfect to me. Right. Three, I don't love the whole cowboy scene, but it's still all right. I don't know. Is that one of your favorite?
That's my favorite.
Yours is three?
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here. Come on. Three.
I was the same exact way growing up. I love two way more. I just think it has a more excitement to it, I think.
Right.
But yeah, as I get older and like watching with mature eyes, I think not knocking two at all, but one is just a better movie.
I think three.
It's cool.
It's like picking between like those two, like Alien and Aliens and like Terminator and Terminator 2. Like they're all like a certain like genre too. They're all like serious, I'd say, but it's like a comedy in the as well. And like, you know, Aliens more horror and the Terminators more horror, and then you get to the sequels so they can expand, so they're more like fun and but I don't know. I can't. That's hard. That's a hard pick between one and two. Well, I can't.
Yeah, I mean, cause two. It's the same thing for me when I was a kid. Two was like I always had one on VHS. So you know, anytime I got to see two, it was always on TV or something. So it was like a special treat, you know. And because it wasn't that often, and it was just with the future, it was like, man, this could really happen. Like, you know, definitely the hoverboard thing, all that. Definitely, I have to agree with you guys, though, you know, going back now and mature eyes, it's one is just so good, dude. It's just like it really is a perfect movie. I mean,
it is.
It's just so good.
Except every time I watch Endgame and Paul Rudd's like, wait, so Back to the Future is just a bunch of bullshit? I'm like,
I always pop for any Back to the Future reference in anything. Like, I just do.
Oh, yeah.
You see Ready Player One?
I did, yes.
Yeah, a lot of Night of the Future stuff.
Matt. Oh yeah,
he's in the DeLorean. I mean, that's. Yeah. I wish I could do that.
The DeLorean with the Ghostbuster symbol on it.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Did it have it?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Or at least I saw the poster for the second one, and it at least has it in that one. What? So I didn't see the first one, so I got to.
It's on my list. One?
Wait, the first what?
Ready Player Ready? One.
They're making one?
They're making a second one.
Ready Player Two, I guess they're calling it?
I think it's Ready Player Two. That's because there's it's a book series.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That movie shocked me. Like, I wasn't hyped for it, and then I was so into it, you know?
Yeah.
The book was, like, very, like, high acclaimed. So, like, I always, you know, I just never got a chance to see. I want to. It's on my list. On the list. Yeah.
Where was the Ghostbuster logo?
I think on the side. Maybe it was on the second one then.
Must be. I don't.
Yeah, I don't. That's an odd one to me because it's not in the movie.
Well,
okay. So then it's in the second one.
I don't know because.
Yeah, it just looks like a regular. Oh, wait. Yeah, I've never seen that, though.
See that?
That was just on the passenger door.
That's what I saw. Yeah.
Okay. I never caught that then.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, maybe it's there. Huh.
Damn, because like I'm a huge car nut, so
there's so much stuff in the movie. That
I know, dude.
A thousand things.
I know.
Yeah, that's the first time I caught that.
Huh.
Yep.
Very.
So, you know, your dad has been you know, quite the character, and, you know, Matt's obviously yours too, but Matt's life, you know, publicly, you know, with, you know, right. Wrestling appearances on TV, you know, in the crowd, Z True Long Island Story.
Oh yeah, he was a big character on that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And going back, you know, we hear all these, you know, stories of like how he would hire like his bodybuilding friends to be like, you know, dress up as wrestlers or American gladiators. You know, mm-hmm. what, obviously, you know, he shaved his chest hair for you, Fitbit, but like, what other, like, you know, maybe standout things did he do for you as a kid?
Similar with Matt, like, he was a pushover in a sense where, like, he'd get us the whole set of something, and my mom would be like, oh, why don't you save that for a holiday or save that for a birthday or something like that? Like, not saying we got whatever we wanted, but like, depending where we were, like, he would like to do the right thing by us. He's like, he caught up, he would catch on and like realize, okay, this thing's new, or this, you've been waiting for this new figure. It's like, oh, you can't get the good guy without the bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, he would do stuff like that. So
that's awesome.
So he always got it. Like, that's cool.
That's the thing, that he always got it.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I brought up movie figures. I'd see a movie with him. He's like, well, they made toys. Like, let's go to Toys R Us, or let's go to Walmart. And it would be stuff like that, which was always cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
It's the best kind of memories. And it's like, because my dad was the same way, like with Star Wars. Like, that's how I really got into collecting, was those 1997 Power of the Force figures. Because my brothers had all the, you know, the original ones, and they wouldn't share those with me. So, you know, getting, you know, having my dad, you know, take me to like FAO Shorts in the city and, you know, all these stores, like, you know, you, as a kid, you're like, oh, I loved, you know, the toys part of it. But, you know, as you get older, you're like, I love spending the time, and it was something for us to do together. And it's like a hobby for us to do together. And it's always the best kind of stories.
No, for sure. Like, I remember there was a time, same thing, Power of the Force, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they re-released the movies, like,
yeah,
I was just with my dad. We were just going to probably KB, Toys R Us, maybe Walmart, just trying to find, I needed more stormtroopers. I only had one stormtrooper.
Right.
And for some reason we couldn't get, I had to build somewhat of an army for the stormtroopers, which was his idea. He's like, we need more stormtroopers. So we would just go to different stores, just trying to get one or two. I probably ended up with like six, but that was an army for me. You know, that's enough. Like, but he would do cool stuff like that all the time. Like, I wouldn't even push for it. It would be his idea. So
yeah, I'd love that. That's great. Like, how my parents, you know, particularly my mom, was always very about, like, if, you know, I was collecting whatever, you know, she would, you know, make sure that I had that kind of stuff. But never would they have been like, oh, yeah, you need like all of these goons or whatever. Like,
right.
You know, you got one. That's enough.
And I get that for sure. But
he was
always just like that. I don't know.
You're like, but mom, I need eight henchmen.
Yeah.
he probably has my all-time favorite pod opening, your dad.
Oh.
Oh, it's a bust. It's a bust because he realistically probably had to do it like four times. But then Matt probably just left the first one because it was so natural of a screw up that he's like, oh, this is funny. We'll just leave it like that.
Right.
The character, though, like, have you met him? You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I met him. So my Bob Cardona story is meeting him for the first time was after
he shaved some chest hair for me.
After one of the toy drives, we went to the Applebee's next door. It was the one where Ethan Page was at that one. I forget who else was there. But so I was like, oh, you know, everyone got pictures with Bob. And I was like, damn it. I didn't get a picture of Bob. I want a picture. And lo and behold, your mom and dad walk into the Applebee's. And I'm like, man, I'm going to do it. So I go over and I'm like, hey, like, nice to meet you. You know, put my hand out, shake his hand. You know, can I get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, sure. And your mom just goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I'm like,
he loves it, though, because
he did.
I think it was, I'm going to screw up like the dates or one of the events, but it was when Matt was in WWE. I think it was like a Survivor Series. It was like John Morrison versus Ziggler, and then Matt comes out at the end and like attacks Ziggler, maybe, whatever. It was a Survivor Series at Madison Square Garden when they chanted over the Rock for him. You remember that night?
Yep.
And my dad's wearing, this was during the Z True Long Island Story days. So my dad's wearing
John Morrison,
the headband, he was obsessed with Morrison on the show.
Yeah.
For MSG, he's wearing like a broski headband and one of Matt's actual entrance like jackets, like MSG.
God. Oh, no.
Two MSG.
Wow.
but people who recognize him from the show, but he was loving it. He was taking pictures, high fiving guys.
That's awesome.
But
I just felt
he's always doing crazy stuff.
I just felt bad because your mom was like, oh, my God. And I was like, oh, I hope I'm really not, like, disturbing that. You know, that's the last thing I want. And
your mom's like, I'm here for the 2 for $20, and your husband's bothering me.
He loves it for sure.
I went to the NYWC show where it was Matt versus Big O again for that first time for the for the title, and then someone like interfered into it, and you know they had to do a rematch, or whatever. And I ran into him there, and I just kind of reintroduced myself and shook his hand, and he's like, yeah, I see you around. He's like, thanks for supporting my son, and I'm like,
nice,
I appreciate it. So
yeah, he's very supportive of all that stuff for sure. Oh, so he'll always be. He's not putting an act, like he's just friendly like that for sure.
Yeah, no, I love that.
That's cool. No, he's got a figure coming out, right?
Yes, he does.
Yes.
So that's a whole story. But
I saw the picture on someone posted. Dude, that's interesting.
Yeah. So how I want to ask you. That's like how does that make you feel? Like
I think I want to get it. I think I got to support Mitch.
Yeah.
I got to support Mitch.
You have to get it. I mean, I have.
Yeah.
I need it, dude.
Yeah.
Matt might hate this if he ever. I think. I kind of like Mitch's figures.
I think Matt does for the most part too.
Okay. It was maybe that Godfather everyone hated, right? Like that was
or something. Yeah.
The you first know, one
there's
was,
been
it was
a lot
a
of
rough,
improvements.
But, well, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Full disclosure, I have, I think, the entire set of his Savio Vegas here right now with me.
Yo, send me a Bob Cardona.
Yeah, no, I don't have one, but no, I mean, I was actually looking at it yesterday because I'm getting ready to move, so I'm packing some stuff up. But anyway, I was looking at that figure and that Savio. It's like it's actually really nice. Like the card's nice and thick,
right?
The figure looks good. I mean, it looks like a Hasbro. You know what I mean?
No, like, for sure. Like I've never held them in hand, but from some of these pictures, like Men on a Mission. Okay, maybe some of the colors were wrong. I was listening to people complaining about, but
yellow
looked,
and gold. Yeah,
it looked good though. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it actually like I haven't held one in my hand. I wanted to open one up, but they're all autographed. You know, so I can't be just plus they're not mine. I can't do that anyway, but
don't let him breathe, as they would say.
Right.
But I would like to hold one just to see how it feels, you know, compared to like an actual Hasbro. But
for sure.
I mean, from what I'm told, they're pretty similar. So, you know, I mean, I got to give them credit. You know, they look great.
Yeah. So I'll get a Bob from Mitch. That's probably the one I'll get.
Same.
are you going to have him autograph it?
That's not a bad idea either.
Yeah.
I might have to do that. I'm probably going to leave it mint. Like I'm usually everything I like to open, but that I probably keep in the package.
You can always get two, you know, want like a special signed one, and then you could have a Lucy, you know, somewhere. It'd be kind of cool.
He's got to sign it though. He's got to sign it for sure, like you said.
Well, now would you have him just sign it with just his name, or would you have him do an inscription to you?
Well, the inscription would have to be the chest hair story.
Well,
go back to that.
It could be a 1 of 10 chest hair thing. Where
That's it.
You got like a little patch like on the corner.
Yeah, I'm sure Matt's gonna have a whole box of those. Though I can only imagine easily.
And I'm pretty sure he's getting.
Cases.
Case fresh box.
Starting them out for himself.
He got the prototype.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah.
I
don't know if you guys know this story or not. So,
I know that he was holding it, and then Mitch came and like snagged it from him.
So yeah. Oh, so that was the whole thing. So Matt was trying to keep the prototype, you know, and Mitch was like, nope, and he took it back from him on stage, but. They kind of worked it out, so he ended up giving it to him, I guess. And,
he did. Okay.
Yeah, because Matt has it now. So
okay.
I wasn't sure. Do you have his micro brawler?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
The Bob Cardona one?
Yeah.
That I have. I only have three micro brawlers. I have that and the wedding brawlers.
Okay. That's all you need. Well, and you know, that was actually something that I wanted to ask you too, was like, how much of his stuff, like, do you get some of his stuff because, like, you're proud and you think it's cool, or do you go like, ah, this is kind of weird, like having all these figures of my brother? Or
I'd be collecting more, like, I'm in an apartment now, so a lot of my stuff's packed at my parents' house. I feel like I would have way more stuff if I had more room. Like, yeah. I don't think I would get every major bendy, but I think I would have gotten, like, Husbar showed that, what were those, the ringside figures, like the death yeah. mat, like that. Yeah. I would like to get, like, little, yeah. like, trinkets like that I would like.
Yeah.
But, like, supporting the pod, it's more of, like, I like to buy a lot of the shirts off Pro Wrestling Tees. Right. I'll buy, like, the hoodies, the hats. Like, sure. I'm never asking for anything from him. Like, I'm buying right. whatever to support, you know?
Right, right. Yeah.
So it's more of, like, the clothing and stuff like that than, like, the actual yeah. figures.
Right. And it's kind of cool, too, because, like, when you go out in public or whatever, you can actually wear it and, like, literally support him and, you for know, maybe sure. even get somebody else like, hey, what is that about? You know?
Exactly. People will ask, like, oh, what is that? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of yeah. cool. So.
And it was cool because we went to that house show at MSG probably like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a few people wearing like Major Pod hoodies. And I was yeah. like, Major Mark, baby, let's yeah. go. You yeah. know?
Definitely.
So it's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. Were you? Did you and your brother Greg go?
Yeah, or? We went.
I think Matt shared some pictures of maybe your nephews.
Yep, that was it. Chelsea was able to get us backstage. So oh, my wow. niece nephew, are huge. So my nephew dressed up as Cody, like yeah. straight up with the tights, the boots, the tattoo on the neck.
Oh my!
So it was cool to.
Awesome. So
yeah, Cody was just the right thing.
And what kind of experience is that like? Like, I've never been backstage, you know, like, so how is that? Like, what's the atmosphere like back there?
This time it was a lot more laid back because my dad somehow used to be able to get us backstage when we'd go to shows. I don't know how. And like, right. it always felt like we weren't supposed to be there, you know, like
right.
one time, quick story.
I know like, that feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Like one time, quick story. Like we're back there, just myself and my two brothers.
Yeah.
And we're just like holding a foam Intercontinental Championship, like having anybody sign it. Everybody's yeah. walking past us. The only guy to sign it was Spike Dudley. So I was like, I'm Spike Dudley, baby. Like, yeah. thank you, Spike. William Regal, like, gave us a quick wave. But this time, Chelsea, like, kind of, I guess, pulled some strings, obviously. And it was nice. Just a little bit. And at this time, man, it's for the kids now. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I'm not jumping up and down like, oh, I got to meet Dom Mysterio. You know what
right,
I mean?
It's, right, right. Hey, I got, know, I got all these 8x10s I need to get signed. Yeah, yeah.
Poster board.
Right, right.
Right, exactly. Like, I'm not going to hunt you down at the airport because I got you backstage. Sign this,
right.
You know? But to well, see it through their eyes was cool. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's crazy. Cool.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's yeah. probably not like asking too much, you know,
no. for,
you know, a certain point, because like Matt and Chelsea are like legitimate friends with Cody.
Of course. So
it's not like, hey,
oh, by the
you
way.
Know, like Roman Reigns, who maybe, I don't know
yeah.
their relationship or whatever. Like if they're no, not, close, like, oh, hey, you know, former WWE guy, you know, wants to, yeah. To meet, you know, his brother, you know, like in right. the yeah. kids. And no, so like, that's pretty sure. cool. Though.
Yeah, no, it was
makes
definitely
it an easy experience.
Yeah. Very cool.
You
very
nailed
cool.
it on the head. 100%. Yeah.
I found that picture.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he loves that. That's it. We call that his Starsky and Hutch jacket. He wears yeah, that every night. He loves it. That's a part of his gimmick. If they ever make a variant, if Mitch ever wants to make a variant, he needs to be wearing that for sure.
Dude.
Yeah, we started with yeah, Starsky
and
Hutch.
I'm not going to lie. When I get to my retirement age, I am going to be dressing like Bob Cardona. I love those, like.
And he's still jacked as hell.
Oh,
holy
God. Yeah. Yeah, that's. I want to get like that. I mean,
yeah.
But yeah, I love those like Native American print, like thick wool.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, dude, they're just, and I like, I can't, well, I live in Florida now, but you know, it's just like, I can't find any of that stuff anywhere.
Man.
So
I gotta you have know, him. He's gotta give you his connect then. Maybe I can
know.
Work
yeah,
well,
yeah,
deal
yeah,
for
yeah,
you,
I mean,
bro.
You have your people call my people. We'll work
that's
with
it.
Up, you know?
You gotta do it.
We
you
might
gotta
need
do
to,
it.
We might need to have Matt contact like Threadheads and see if they can make one of those.
Matt Billy's on the retro. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
You know, he's, my grandma knit one.
He's done it with the major, you know, jackets, or the major players ones, the NWA row, the Chelsea skirt things.
That's true.
They do a lot of cool stuff.
I got a great idea.
I'm going to message him about it.
Billy, this is what you need to do for like Live 20, wherever it's going to be at. Like, let's just say it's in Phoenix. Dude, we got to do a Bob Cardona print style on the chalk line jacket. Like that print with the major.
Oh my God, logo. I would buy one.
And the hat to match. The bill has to be like that. Oh, dude, I'm in. Let's go. Yeah, dude, I need it. I need it.
You know, so like you grew up in a pretty athletic household, you know, you're becoming a, you know, the top, you know, basically of, you know, professional wrestling, your dad being a professional bodybuilder, like is any of that stuff things that growing up with that you were, you know, thinking about trying to do, or, you know, did you have other aspirations?
Well, it was more like we always grew up playing sports. Like, you know, Matt wasn't as into sports as myself and my middle brother. You know, he was always focused on the wrestling. And then for wrestling, for me, like I checked out I went to NYWC for like a day, like just to like check it out, just like see what it was about. But you got to be so committed to that. Like that's his dream. That wasn't really my dream. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that was more like just, I have to see what it is, but I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I just wanted to see them like practice and stuff like that. I was like, all right, I checked it out. And that was really the end of it for that.
Yeah,
that's cool. This wasn't for you.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nah, for sure. I know like Sweet Fallen Angel mentioned, like he was like thinking about doing something like that too. I feel like everyone had that like idea at one point in their head, but I think I'm just more of a fan of it than anything.
Yeah, I mean, because like one of the biggest things is like obviously when I was a kid, you know, watching wrestling, it's like, oh, I just want to be a wrestler; it'd be so awesome. But dude, the amount of work and like the dedication, you literally have to give your life up to it. You know what I mean? To make it, and it's, you know, for me personally, like I don't know if I would be able to do that. You know what I mean? Like just give everything up just to chase my dream, you know, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that it's not worth it. I'm not saying that at all. It's just for like me personally, I don't think I could have made that sacrifice.
I would have never wanted to do, even if you made it big, I would never even want to do that travel. Like I could, no. That's why I was like, if I'm going to do this, you need to give it 150%. I'm like,
right.
I'll just watch it on TV.
And that's the other thing too. Like how many people actually, and I'm not saying if you don't put the work in, you're not going to make it, because you will. I mean, you put the work in, you're going to succeed, but it's like, you know, how many people really, really try hard, you know, and just they just don't have it, you know, and it's, you know, I don't know. It's, you literally just have to give everything to it. You know, it's a sacrifice.
I know. It just becomes your whole life. You know?
Yeah. 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 And it's just, that's a lot of people don't see that and don't understand it, you know, and it's dedication, man. It's insane, but it's
like,
awesome.
I'm sure people are like, oh, why aren't you guys like the next Von Erichs? Like just cause one person's into it.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's no dark side of the ring on the Cardona family at some point. No.
Sorry, my internet is just destroyed.
They're cutting it out there.
Yeah. No, man, this has been cool, and you know, it's been cool to hear your story and you know what it's been like, you know, your perspective of, you know, growing up with your family. Also, you recently got engaged, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Congratulations, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Awesome.
Becoming official.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
it.
You got a date set?
Probably sometime in 2025.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Don't know when.
A little time. Yep.
Yeah.
I wonder if you'll have your own wedding brawlers.
At least maybe as a cake topper would be cool.
There you go. That would be cool. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Hey, you got to get a micro brawler out of it at least.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt if Matt already has it up his sleeve, like as a little one of one gift. You know what I'm saying? That's something he would do. That's how his brain works.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I respect it.
So I know in, you know, years ago, he started doing or having customs made of all the WTW guys. Did you get one being a referee?
I didn't. He made one of me, but I didn't.
Okay.
Are you asking if I received one or
either or? Yeah.
Yeah. No. One was made. My face was, I believe, a Shannon Moore face. that was the scan. Looked just like me. Let me tell you. But you know, and he used. They used. It was actually good. They used the Colin Delaney body, so I was like smaller and skinnier, like I was in the Fed. So that was good. He made everybody. He even made guys who only had like a couple appearances. He went crazy with those.
That's cool. You know, we've had, you know, these talks with really all the, you know, previous WTW guys who've been a guest on, you know, and it's even after all these years, you know, obviously your brothers, it's easy, Gravina, your cousin, you know, it's easy to stay in touch, but like, you know, that you all still have like, you know, this bond.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's very cool. See.
Yeah, it's like I played football in high school. It's like those guys, you'll always have a special bond with them. I was a ref in a backyard wrestling fed, but it's like there's a bond with that too. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm always holding the hope that one day we'll get all the episodes released.
You got it. I mean, if anyone can get him, I think it would be Gravina. Like, honestly, like he's good with the tech stuff. Like,
right.
Matt has the footage. It's just there's got to be a way it could be not only transferred. I don't know if you could make the quality much better. I don't. Are there?
There's definitely software.
There's software for that. Okay, because that would be great.
It make it perfect, but it can enhance it some. And
even if it's slightly better, that would be cool. But it's got to be done.
I know. Even on the YouTube video, like it's because. You know, it was recorded, you know, all there or whatever. It was like you had the music on like a boombox or something.
Oh, yeah.
So the music on the boombox is louder than Gravina doing the announcement.
Oh, no, you're 100% right. You couldn't even hear what he's saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I barely hear what he's saying, but like,
we might have to have him come back over and you know, do a voiceover
He has to like, use like a younger voice.
His 17-year-old voice.
This is good old JG.
Good old
JG. You know what? It would have been better if we actually had like a real microphone or something so the sound could have went across. We were using the jacks.
Yep.
It's not even plugged into anything. And then he's using a headset that's not plugged into that monitor's a computer from the 80s. It was great.
It was like the Dell. Fucking headset.
So bad.
IBM.
Right.
So bad.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, good shit.
Oh, sorry, Bill.
You keep muting him.
Yeah.
He's having a cough.
I'm trying to get off with it on all pull your eardrums, but.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is there any other stories that you guys want to get out before we start to wrap this thing up?
I think I got most of them, my man. Yeah. I think I got most of them. I appreciate you guys having me on, though. This is great.
Dude, of course.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time.
It's great to meet you guys, too.
Same here, man.
Hopefully, I got to try and get to a live show, though. That's one thing that's on my bucket list, for sure. Yeah. I even say that to Matt all the time.
Yes.
I tried, Billy. I tried. I
know. Philadelphia?
Graz is trying, too. It might happen. I'm not out yet, but I got to see.
All right.
Or at least, like, we should all maybe see if we can get a WTW reunion going, like a reunion show.
Maybe we could do like a...
You can host it.
So how many more, like, prominent members do we need to get on here individually before we set, you know, try and do a round table?
Round table.
I can't think of his name right now.
You got Sal and Chris. G Money would probably not make an appearance.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he would. Unless Gravina can try and convince him, but those are probably the heavy hitters right there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
Geronimo, maybe. Spiral. Spiral.
Spiral.
Former WCW champion. Those are probably the mainstays right there. And then yeah, what was it, Head Case, maybe? I forgot what his real name was, but he's friends with Sal and Chris. But he had a hell of a gore. Guy had a hell of a gore.
Oh, interesting. All right.
I'm going to have to work on it.
But yeah. You do the work. You can count me in. Yeah. Now I know how to log in, so I'm down anytime you need me. For sure.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man.
No, this was a lot of fun. All right,
so I'll let you know. I'll let you know about the live show.
Yeah, awesome. Please, dude.
Hope we can see you there. If not, you know, I'm sure another time will happen at some point.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
We'll make it work.
All right. Well, he's out of here.
Well, see you later.
I feel bad. I wish I would have been able to contribute more, but you guys are, you know, just fine without me. And
we can always do a part two. We would love to have him on again. Sure, sure. Kind of like a review.
It's killing me right now.
Oh,
all right. Sorry. Well, Husfar, let's go. You know, Billy, we appreciate you sticking through this. Know you're sick, and I know you're having internet troubles and, you know, snow and all this and that. But Andrew, you did an amazing job. So thank you very much. Right. You did great. So, and Andrew Cardona, thank you for joining us. And as Billy always says, Andrew, take us out.
Play my music. I got Galoob, a Hasbro Dusty. I got the merch that drives the marks, while the ring-worn gear, they wanna wear it. H-A-R-D, just like Blue Chew. I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
Claim all the figs. Claim all the merch. Like Super Gabby. You already know the Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen with Phil Jackson. Always scratching that itch. I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
Hey, all you major marks. Claim all that merchandise.